Ain't it wonderful? You know, those little kids, they can sit there and they can get mad at one another, and 2 minutes later, back playing as though nothing ever happened. No grudges, no nothing. Or they forgive. Or, you know, you can have two kids fighting out in the front yard. You come get them together, tell them to shake hands, forgive each other, go back out and play. They go back out and play. They have that kind of forgiveness. Total forgiveness. No forgiveness where they sit up there and have conditions for it. Well, as long as you don't do this or that again, we're fine, or however, but like we do once we get older. We become adults, and then all of a sudden we become more educated, and now everything comes with conditions. Oh, I'll forgive you if you do this, or I'll forgive you if you do that, but I'm going to watch over you to make sure. That's not forgiveness. You know, children can teach us a lot when it comes down to love and honesty and forgiveness. You know, when you feel that hug from your little grandchild squeezing on your neck, you know that's real love. They really feel something. It's not fake. It's not just doing it just for custom. When we get older, we become more sophisticated in how we forgive. That's not the way it was supposed to be, though. I've had people make me mad now, and nowadays I do find it hard a lot of times, or not as much as I used to after becoming a Christian, but I used to find it real, real hard to forgive people, I must tell you. And it did come with conditions as far as I was concerned. And you know, but then I look at stories in the Bible about people who have been done worse than me in a lot of cases. And how did they get over it? And take Esau. I learned a lot about Jacob, but one thing I learned about Esau was something about forgiveness. See, when Jacob came and deceitfully took away Esau's blessing, Esau was furious. He came to his father crying. He said, "Please bless me too. Father, bless me too." But it was too late. And what Isaac told him didn't make the matters any better. Told him he was going to be a servant to his brother. Esau said in chapter 27, verse 41, it says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" He was furious. And he had, at this time, he had hate in his heart. Jacob's mother had learned of the situation, had learned what was going to happen, so she sent her son to her brother to find a wife, using the excuse, which was also something her and Isaac shared about Esau, was they didn't like his wives, and she wanted to make sure that Jacob got wives from their own people. Sent them away. But we learned something about Esau, because in chapter 33 of Genesis, and I'll start at verse 3, because Esau and Jacob were going to meet up again. And in verse 3 of Genesis, and I always promise to start in Genesis, Genesis chapter 33, verse 3, it says, "Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother." That was Jacob being repentful, bowing to his brother. And it says, "But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." So even though at one time Esau was furious at his brother, had hate in his heart, by the time they met again, it seemed to have all been forgiven. Esau had went on his way, and Jacob went on his way, and when they had met back up. You know, it's that love, family love, I think, and that love that we should have for everybody. Another lesson I get from the Genesis is where it comes to Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph, and we know that Jacob favored Joseph over his other brothers, and that really infuriated them. And not only that, Joseph was having these dreams, and he was telling his brothers about it, and the dreams were basically saying that he was going to be over them one day, and they didn't like that neither. And one day, Joseph's brothers was out with the flock, and his father sent Joseph to his brothers. And when Joseph found his brothers and they saw him coming, the first things they were saying is, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him." Think about that for a second. Your own brothers thinking that way of you and saying, "Let's kill him." One of the brothers, and we know the story, one of the brothers, he had a little more level-headed, said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's put him in a cistern." So they put him there. There's some Israelites came along, and they sold their brother into slavery. Now, what must Joseph have been thinking? I don't know if it was rage. It was probably shock. It was probably hurtfulness. How could my brothers sit there and sell me into slavery? And Joseph went through a lot of stuff while he was in Egypt. He had highs and he had lows and he had highs again. He'd been in prison, had all kinds of stuff happen, but the Lord was with him the whole time. And when we turn to chapter 45 of Genesis, around verse 14, because, and just to say one other thing about Joseph, Joseph did do a little back at you with his brothers, but he did it in a way where they was always safe the whole time. He kind of sat up there and scared them quite a bit, but as I said before, he was in control the whole time, didn't really hurt them or anything. In chapter 45, verse 14, it says, "Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after this, his brothers talked with him." After all that had happened with Joseph, Joseph found forgiveness in his heart for his brothers. He also found that the Lord had a higher purpose for him, and the brothers were part of that purpose. They didn't know it at the time. But he had forgiveness in his heart, true forgiveness. Not the forgiveness that we sometimes have when we say we forgive. Sometimes we're more like James and John in Luke 9. 54, when they were sent, they asked the Lord, "Shall we call fire down on these people of Samaria?" Because they had rejected the Lord. And sometimes that's, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but there's been times in my life when I would surely have allowed, if I had the power to do so, would have had fire come down on some people. That's the way I felt. That's the way I felt back then. But Jesus said to them in verse 36, "For the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He wasn't there to destroy and punish people. But he still nicknamed them two Sons of Thunder. They were ready to go to war. But Jesus said, "No, that's not the way we're going to do this." In Matthew's chapter 18, Peter asked a question in verse 21.
It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Continually, in other words, is what he was talking about. And then he goes on to give an explanation of what he's saying. In verse 23, it says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents would be equal, from what I understand, to millions of dollars. Now think about this for a second. What if somebody came to you and said, you owe me millions of dollars. I want it right now. And if you don't give it to me right now, I'm putting you in prison. And I think the reason why the amount is so much is to make a point about how this man, there was nothing that he could ever do to repay this. Verse 25 says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the matter of that servant was moved with, the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which amounts to just a few dollars. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Sounds familiar. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So this man was forgiven for things that he couldn't possibly pay in his lifetime. And then he turns around and somebody who owes him next to nothing, and he treats him like he owes him millions of dollars. So when his fellow servants in 31 saw what had happened, what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I gave you all. I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just that I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Jesus goes on to say in verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Forgiven from the heart. That means true forgiveness. As I said before, true forgiveness. You know, not burying the hatchet, as they say, and leaving that handle up like we do. We do that with, you know, thinking that I'm going to have to use it one of these days. And then there are some people who really abuse us very bad. We won't do that to them. Why? Because they're family. Why? Because we do have that forgiveness of heart. But some people, we just don't. But we have to have that with everybody. This servant was an unmerciful servant. We can find ourselves in that situation. You know, I told myself long ago, I won't fight nobody about money because God blesses me every day. So I get a few $100 taken from me,
I still get paid every other week. I get more money. I'm being blessed all the time. It's not worth fighting. You know, in Benton Harbor growing up, people get shot over a quarter. Over a quarter. I seen guns pulled at dice games. When I was younger, I used to sit there and I used to watch the dice games under the street lights. And boy, don't you be the one on the losing end, come in there with $400 and walk out with a quarter. Ain't nobody leaving that place until they get their money back. But they'll shoot you over nothing. A lot of times we get angry with people over something that's really not nothing. Something that we could really do without. Something that just petty. But we're ready to go to war over it. In Luke 17:3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Period. "And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns again to thee and says, I repent, says thou shall forgive him." And I'm going to say this too. Even if they don't ask forgiveness, we have to let things go. That's another thing that happens. You know that holding all this stuff in can kill you. It can end your life a lot earlier. And we was reading a little earlier, it seemed like the repentance from his brothers didn't come, Joseph's brothers didn't come till the very end of the story. When his father had told them to recite to Joseph what he told them to tell Joseph. But Joseph had already let that go. Joseph had nothing in his mind said to him, I'm going to torture them, or I want to do something to them or anything. He had that love for them that, as far as he was concerned, they were already forgiven. And that's the kind of love we're supposed to have too, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." That's when you think about that. When I think about all the things I've done wrong in my life, all the things that even I don't think I should be forgiven for, it's just, you know, but the Lord would do that. And we're supposed to have that same compassion, that same forgiveness that the Lord has for us. In Colossians 3:12-13, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 13, "bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." And you know, you hear people that say, and I used to hear that all, "Oh, I have to forgive you." You don't have to forgive me. That's not the kind of forgiveness the Lord wants us to have. If you got to sit up there and begrudgingly say, "Well, I have to forgive you in order to go to heaven," is that true forgiveness? Or is that just keeping the handle out of the dirt? We have to find it in our hearts to forgive people, not just say the words. This is like some people say, "I'm sorry." Are they really sorry? It has to be more than words. See, the Lord knows the heart. We can sit up there and fool each other all we want to. We can sit up there and convince each other that we're really forgiving about one thing, but the Lord knows our hearts in the end, and that's what's going to count. So it's better to try to learn to do it the proper way. Have that love for one another. Try to find good in everyone. The problem sometimes is we don't find good in people. We're always looking for the wrong instead of looking for the right. As Christians, we need to change that.
As Christians, we need to learn how to love people from the heart. We need to learn how to forgive people from the heart. We need to learn how to help people. How can you help somebody if you can't forgive them? You know, and it brings me back to John 3 and 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." All the sin and everything we've done in our lifetimes. And everybody in here has sinned. Let's make no mistake about it. The Lord still loved us so much that he sent his Son down. Not only to teach us, not only to be an example to us of how we should live, how we should forgive. Think about Jesus, all the things that happened to him. He was beaten. He was with fists, with whips and everything, spit upon. How many of us could sit there and take all that and still be forgiven, in a forgiving mood? Our Lord and Savior did. And what more, he knew all this stuff was going to happen beforehand, and yet he still did this because his love for us, and the Lord's love for us, wanting to forgive us, just wanting us to come back to him. And those of us who are Christians, that's not hard to do. Now, if we've been sinning, if we've been living a life outside of the Lord, all you got to do is come back to him. But I will say this much. Those who are not part of the Lord's church, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to live that life that God would have you live, first you do need to hear the word of God. And you have to believe the word of God. And if you hear the word of God and you believe the word of God, it should draw you to repentance. It should draw you to say, you know, all of these things I used to do that's against God's word, I don't want to do those anymore. Not only do I not want to do them anymore, I'm going to strive not to do these things anymore. Confess Jesus as your Savior, the Son of God. And be baptized. Now, watery grave of baptism, washing away your sins, giving you the opportunity to be forgiven, give yourselves an opportunity to live the life that God would have you live with a clear conscience, knowing that you could do what is right and what is good. We need to learn about forgiveness. We need to look at the little ones sometimes and try to go back to having the same heart that they have, go back to have that same forgiving heart as they have. And be willing to do the work of the Lord. Because if you don't have that forgiving heart, you cannot do the work of the Lord successfully. There's a lot of people out there who need help. And we have to be willing to help all of them. You know, we was going to have a gospel meeting in Benton Harbor one time. And we were passing out flyers. And I decided I was going to go on the roughest side of Benton Harbor. So I was walking along and I saw this porch, and there was people on the porch, and I went up and there was a young lady sitting there. I gave her a flyer. And then I started to walk away and this man said, "Hey, you don't want to give me a flyer just because I'm holding this liquor bottle in my hand? And am I not valuable too?" And right then I realized I was making a judgment. That man's life was just as important as that young lady's life. And I told him, "I am so sorry." And I gave him one too and invited him there. And I asked him for his forgiveness, and I hope he forgave me. But without that forgiveness, without that loving heart, we're going to miss it. And we have to be there for everybody. So please, I hope you listen to what I said. I hope it you go through the week and think about it. And I hope what I said might help some of us. So please think about these things as we stand to sing the song that was selected for the Savior's invitation.